A Pod Forte Podcast.
The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plena, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plena, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. In this episode of the Next CMO podcast, Kelsey and I speak to Tom O'Regan, the CEO of Madison Logic. Madison Logic is a leading provider of account-based marketing platforms, and they're focused on helping the world's fastest-growing companies grow even faster. Their customers include people like AWS, Cisco, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Adobe, and many, many more. During our discussion, we talked to Tom about the three levels of account-based marketing, some of the key things you need in place to have an effective account-based marketing strategy, the importance of real ROI measurement versus vanity metrics, and many, many more things. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining the Next CMO podcast this morning. We're super excited to have you on the show. Would love to learn a little bit more about you and what you do at Madison Logic.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Kelsey. So Tom O'Regan, I've been at Madison Logic for a little over 7 years. Madison Logic is a global marketing technology organization, and we facilitate an account-based marketing platform that helps enterprise marketers engage and ultimately convert the accounts they want to sell to faster.
Sounds like a laudable goals for everyone. It's certainly something that's important for most of our listeners, I suspect. One of the things I wanted to do, Tom, is that we've talked a lot about ABM, you know, in some of the discussions we've had in this show, and certainly it's a really popular topic among marketers these days. But it'd be great to kind of go back a little bit into the history. Can you tell me sort of how it started, what really ABM means? Because I think it's one of those terms that can apply to, people can apply very broadly, mean slightly different things. Tell me from your perspective, what really is ABM and how long has it been around and how did it get started?
Yes. So, you know, Madison Logic as a business has been around for 17 years. And always had a specialty in B2B marketing. Over the last, I'd say, 6 or 7 years, B2B marketing has kind of evolved. And it's evolved based upon the amounts of pervasive data, measurement, technology, and associated scale to be able to do more sophisticated, targeted marketing. And what marketers have found out is if you're spending marketing dollars on channels focused around just the companies you want to sell products to, that's a more efficient and more effective way to generate revenue. So it sounds extremely simple, but before about 7 years ago, there wasn't enough data. There weren't the tools to allow marketers to see and provide validation and verification that they're reaching those accounts and optimize. But with the influx of data, measurement tools and capabilities and associated technology, B2B marketers have evolved and they're using ABM as a go-to-market strategy to be able to grow their business. And it's been trending up for the last number of years. And, you know, for our business, we work with the most sophisticated marketers. So they've trialed and tested and done all of their various campaigns to understand what the metrics of success are. And once organizations understand those metrics, then we're a viable platform to help them grow and accelerate their revenue.
So if you think about ABM, should you think about, hey, my targeted accounts, is it viable for people who have 100 targets, 100,000, really anything? So tell me a little bit more about sort of the best practices around sort of How do you think about a target, and is ABM really applicable to anyone who really needs to communicate to a well-defined ICP?
ABM, as we know it today, is focused around kind of one-to-many, right? And the evolution and accessibility of data and measurement and technology is focused on the scaling of an account-based go-to-market strategy. ABM is not new. Marketing teams have been doing this forever. But what's changed is a one-to-one approach where enterprise marketers were creating specific marketing, messaging, and a curated plan for a specific account now have the ability to go after many more accounts with personalized messaging to speed them through the funnel. So that's really what's evolved and changed as it relates to ABM. It's not that it's new. Marketing organizations have always wanted to sell, whether that's expand revenue from a current account or generate a new account, but it's the ability to do that at scale. And when I say scale, organizations typically on average go after about 250 companies. If we're looking across the enterprises we work with, 250 companies up to a couple thousand companies. But that ability to scale and personalize messages at various stages of the funnel and to measure the impact and optimize for revenue, that's effective account-based marketing.
That's super helpful. So a couple of hundred to a couple of thousand is typically what you see. And that's really in your domain and where you focus. Obviously, broadly, ABM and the approaches can apply to a broader range. It can be people who have one account. It can be people who have, I assume, many thousands of accounts may be appropriate for an ABM strategy. And given that, how should marketers think about whether an ABM strategy is appropriate for them?
Well, there's really three steps that marketers should kind of tick the box and check before executing campaigns and spending money and marketing dollars for an account-based strategy, either on an individual channel are in multiple channels. But those three start with an account list, right? And saying an account list, well, everyone has an account list. That's not true, right? There's marketing and sales organizations that have two varying lists of accounts. And if you're starting an account-based marketing campaign or undergoing a strategy and you're conflicted between marketing and sales on which account list you should go after, you haven't ticked that box. So marketing and sales teams have to align and agree that they're marketing and selling to a group of accounts that are approved. Check the box. Then there has to be recognition of what the goals of the campaign are. Are we branding a new product and solution to a group of companies that don't work with us? Or do we have a dual track, which is here's a group of organizations that we want to retain and upsell, and here's a group of organizations that we want to acquire net new, right? What are the goals and what are the KPIs for success for that new customer acquisition versus the upsell and retention? So understanding the metrics of success, number two, got to tick that box. And then number three, just like marketing and sales have to be aligned on a target account list that they agree upon, there has to be rules of engagement and communication and intersection between CRM and marketing automation so that the marketing organization can engage and remarket to those individuals that were attracted to either a marketing message, went to a landing page, downloaded some asset, but there has to be an automated marketing effort to be able to bring those individuals at those organizations into the funnel and remarket to them. And they've got to set those, whether it's lead nurturing, and that process up. So integrating the tools to be able to communicate with the individuals of the accounts would be step number three.
Got it. So I understand the requirements and sort of what needs to be in place. And that's actually a really great list. If we step back a little bit and say, should I even be doing AB? And so how would you make that determination? So is it related to your target market? Is it your go-to-market motion? Is it, I just do ABM, so I should do it better? How should I think about that as a marketing leader? Especially, it's a great opportunity to reach those people who aren't doing any ABM today, is there an opportunity, as an example, even if you don't have a targeted account strategy, should you be spawning a targeted account strategy for part of your go-to-market?
Absolutely. And I think what's gone are, you know, individual channel marketers, right? Mm-hmm. And for the last number of years, there were channel marketers. There were marketers that were so focused on social. I'm going to share content and I'm going to get likes and shares and comments, and they've got all this amazing data. But the sales team never sees it. They have no understanding of who's engaging with the social content, who's sharing it, how to connect with those individuals or those accounts. So it's really worthless. So channel marketing has evolved. And, you know, the individuals at the organizations we work with, we're working with growth marketers, right? They could have come from demand generation. They could have come from field marketing. But the growth marketers have a revenue target. They have a revenue target that's associated with their job, and they need to market and sell products to reach a goal. So if there's an individual that has a title of account-based marketer and a growth marketer, they're sitting within the sales organization or outside the sales, but they're measured on KPIs consistent with revenue, then they should be focused on a set of accounts, and they should have a strategy in place to be able to grow and generate that goal with a set of accounts. If there's an individual working within an organization and they're a channel expert in social, or in specifically in demand gen, or in display advertising, they won't be there for very long because those KPIs are inconsistent with revenue growth unless they're associated to a revenue target. So if you're looking to grow a business and you're looking to generate revenue and you're looking to be more measurable about where your marketing dollars are going, an account-based strategy always prevails a less targeted general B2B marketing strategy.
So I think there are two concepts in there, Tom, if I unpack them a little bit, that are important to note. One is the idea of targeting and focus that you highlighted, which I would agree is incredibly important. And one of the real values of account-based marketing, it's a kind of personalization. So I think of it as companyization. Right. So it's actually building the message that's applicable for that specific company within that specific domain. The other thing that you mentioned is something that, you know, Kelsey and I talk about all the time. And we write in our book, The Next CMO, is the idea of thinking more broadly about campaigns and getting away from that channel specific concept. And I think it's related and in additional to the targeting is the concept of going more broadly after an approach. And like you said, not getting buried down into these sort of vanity metrics that may not be related to an actual outcome that you're trying to drive, which may be a new customer, an expansion, or whatever it is. In fact, you all talk about the idea, the concept of multi-channel AB. Can you define that a little bit? I assume we're talking about the same thing here now. It's the idea of getting away from a single channel, but defining your words, what you guys think of as multi-channel ABM.
Sure. Well, you know, I think marketing technology organizations do a great job of confusing, right, the marketplace and call themselves ABM platforms. So, you know, there's no ABM platform. It doesn't exist. Sounds crazy. Madison Logic's an account-based marketing platform, but we don't solve for every challenge that every B2B organization has in terms of website personalization, right? And every aspect of B2B strategy. But what we do is focus on working with enterprise marketers that have an account-based strategy. We help them prioritize their account list. So if they have an account list, we provide a level of data that says, you know what, you're trying to target the Fortune 500 to sell this particular software. There's 200 companies that are more likely to buy based upon data and signals that we have as an organization, and we'll shorten the sales cycle. And what we propose is doing a multi-channel strategy, which we define as account-based demand generation, right? Focus on the personas at those accounts that are most likely to buy. Right? Getting the assets, the white papers and infographics and all the long form content, in the hands of those buyers within that community. So that's number one, one channel, demand generation, which is a fast growing, very effective channel for ABM. Then there's account-based display advertising, right? Programmatically targeting accounts and those personas on the programmatic web with display ads. And then the third one, which is really important over the last few years, we've integrated, we've got a bi-directional integration with LinkedIn. So a account-based growth marketer can see how they are engaging with personas at a set of accounts in one unified central reporting system that integrates with CRM and marketing automation so that organization can understand who's engaging with content, how do we remarket to them, and how can we track engagement from three channels into opportunity creation in Salesforce. And I think if you establish metrics set up front, we want to generate pipeline, we want to close deals, having a multi-channel approach is effective at shortening sales cycle, increasing deal size, and ultimately driving revenue faster.
So I think, Tom, one of the issues a lot of people struggle with in marketing is obviously measuring that success and understanding, you know, how well these campaigns are performing, and especially ABM. It's such a complicated, you know, intense process to make sure, you know, you're hitting the right accounts and all that. So how are you measuring that success? How are you understanding that recognition of those campaigns that you're currently doing to say, hey, this was a, you know, viable campaign, ABM worked, we should continue to do it in our marketing strategy?
Well, we built a end-to-end measurement platform that basically allows marketers to see, either logging into our software platform or logging into their marketing automation or CRM, how those accounts are engaging with their content in real time, right? 7 years ago, you'd be spending money as a marketer programmatically, targeting individuals, but not understanding how many of those individuals were at the companies that you were trying to engage with, right? So programmatic without measurement isn't an effective tool because you can't optimize. Publishers that are running campaigns on associated content and websites, if there's no measurement on how those ads are engaging with accounts, you can't optimize. So the whole premise behind account-based marketing and the reason Madison Logic exists is we provide real-time, verified, validated measurement of the individuals at the companies our clients are targeting in real time so they can optimize different creative to be able to drive conversions. And that measurement is across demand generation, programmatic display, and LinkedIn in one unified measurement platform. And so it's the basis behind why ABM is not only effective, but increasing in terms of a go-to-market strategy, because it's the verification and validation. And what we saw going into the pandemic, B2B marketers have been transitioning higher percentages of their budget to digital over the years. Mm-hmm. But during the pandemic, 100% of the buyer and seller journey was focused online, and the marketers that won, that grew faster during the pandemic, are ones that already understood how much they can pay to acquire a new account, what the metrics of success were to retain and upsell current accounts. And those organizations grew way faster during the pandemic than organizations that said, wow, maybe we should do some testing and maybe we should trial some ABM on multi-channels. It was harder for them to figure it out, and we had a unique vantage point to be able to see our organizations working with us, the sophisticated ones, they were able to scale rapidly.
So it sounds like the primary thesis for ABM is that a more targeted message reaching the right person is going to convert at a higher rate. Is that fair?
That's right. And it's taking all the guesswork out. So it's not run a campaign for 3 months and then get a report after 3 months. Here are the impressions and here's who you reached. You know, marketers think they know what content's going to resonate. Even Madison Logic, maybe we think, right? Here's the right content for that audience. But if you're running multiple assets, digital assets, or multiple, you know, gated assets, you're able to see very quickly in real time which ones are resonating with the buying groups at the accounts that you're targeting and evolve, optimize out, create new content. And that's the key with a successful account-based marketing strategy. Using content, optimizing that content, increasing engagement, and then being able to track all of that through to pipeline and revenue.
So I assume a more evolved approach is, if you look back, I think at some of the initial approaches for ABM, it really was a form of personalization, as we talked about. It says, hey, I'm gonna customize my content to this particular company. What I think you advocate is also mapping that to the point they happen to be at buying cycle at that current time. And because obviously just personalizing, saying, welcome IBM to my website is not very exciting. But if you happen to know that IBM is in the market for your thing and they are in step 3 of the buyer's journey, and you might present them with more financial information versus a high level thing or something like that. So how typical is it that people are sort of that evolved, Tom, where they're mapping not only to the account, but also to the point in the buyer?
That's like level 3, you know, so we have marketers that we've been working with for, you know, over a decade, and it takes a long time to ensure that you've got the trust and the level of security to integrate with the systems they use. But everything with ABM is shifting to a more dynamic, always-on approach. And to be successful, you have to personalize messages at varying stages of the funnel, which is what you're mentioning. So what we've done with our platform, we don't want to force people to go into the ML platform and log in all the time. So we've created these integrations with our data cloud to integrate with Eloqua, integrate with Salesforce, integrate with Adobe Marketing Cloud and HubSpot and Marketo. And those integrations facilitate more knowledge. So our clients don't want to be serving marketing messages to an account that has a $100 million opportunity in their Salesforce instance. That doesn't make any sense. So basically, with an integration, we're able to bucket these accounts are not currently clients, and there's no opportunity in Salesforce. This group of accounts has an opportunity in Salesforce at 25% stage. This group of accounts is 50% or 90%. So we basically bucket the accounts based on opportunity stage, and we create these personalized marketing messages that are in turn helping to speed deals through the funnel. So there's a quarter of our clients that are fully integrated, that personalize the journey and are leveraging a feature we call journey acceleration, which is where everyone wants to go. An integrated multi-channel account-based strategy designed to optimize and shorten deal cycles. But that's account-based marketing, and that's the nirvana. And that's where the industry and account-based marketers are moving towards.
So you said that was level 3. How many levels are there?
There's really 3. Right now there's 3 levels. That's
okay,
the highest.
That's
the highest level.
I didn't know if it was 3 out of 11.
No. 3. Like that. Everything's in threes here, Madison Logic. That's the third level.
So one thing that I always wondered, Tom, and you can demystify this for me. So if I'm doing ABM kind of targeting and I'm mapping to the sales cycle, is there ever a point where you would say, don't deliver any message to that customer because they're at a sensitive point in the buying cycle? Is there a point where you sort of opt them out of communication because they're about to put the pen on the contract digitally and you don't want to do anything that may distract them?
I would say no, because there's, you know, if you're confident in your brand and your product and the challenge that product is solving for, it's always okay to reinforce, even if it's just a brand message, where someone feels good signing that contract, right? Because sales cycles in enterprise software are extremely long, right? 6 to 12 months if we're talking about some of the products our clients are marketing. So, you know, we're all susceptible to brand messages on various channels. So I don't think there's ever a time where you kind of stop marketing, but I do think there's the right level of marketing and maybe you stop sending emails that are maybe for a prospect that are not associated with someone who's going to sign a, you know, multi-year enterprise software license. So you stop that, but it's okay to have some brand reinforcement.
And how has the whole set of restrictions on third-party cookies affected ABM for your customers?
you know, for programmatic display, the privacy laws were put in place to protect consumers. And when you look at some of the approved language from Google and Apple, they look at cohorts around companies and accounts, and they bucket them into these groups. And the individuals are anonymous, but we're really targeting effectively individuals at an account. So that is a approved, above the board, digital effective way to target and engage individuals. And in many instances, the integration within CRM and marketing automation, and even the website activity, allow for the retargeting of individuals. And it's way more permissible and open as compared to the privacy laws and increasing privacy laws as relates to consumer, individual, personal identifiable information marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's permissible and then there's possible, right? Because there are some cases, of course, if you're blocking third-party cookies as an example, are there cases where you can't deliver a message even if it's viable under the current law? And in that case, how do you get around it? How do you adapt your strategy to deliver those personalized messages?
Well, if we're talking about programmatic advertising, you can always deliver a message. But what you may not be able to do is verify that individual, who they are, what their title is, and what company they work for. So there could be some opacity as it relates to resolving to a domain or an account, which is what we do, right? We know who you are, where you work, and we can resolve to that domain. If those metrics or information elements aren't there, then we're not effectively reporting that we served you an ad, but the ad is still served to you. But it's not a major problem in B2B or account-based marketing, and it's not as prevalent as the consumer privacy challenges that are happening now.
Yeah, and I assume certainly for elements of your strategy where if you're doing email outbound as an example, that's clearly not affected at all by these things. If you're anything with first-party data on your website, that's not affected at all. It does impact things like your ability to do retargeting in some cases, especially if people are using some of these. And it just sort of emphasizes in my mind the requirement for marketers to think about creative ways, one, to build their own first-party data, build their own communities, build reasons for people to come back, build compelling data, et cetera. Which reminds me, I'd love your perspective, Tom, on what is the end prospect's benefit of ABM? Because I think it's meaningful, right? So obviously, your direct customer, the marketer who's trying to get their end prospect to convert, but I suspect there's probably significant value for the prospect just in things like relevance. Does that make sense?
Oh, in terms of the potential buyer of the product, so having relevant marketing messages that solve for a real challenge. Absolutely. Having more tailored marketing and personalized marketing benefits the consumer or the target individual at the account. We all open our email every morning when we wake up. We're getting the same things, right? Every day, right? Messages that are not targeted, that are totally unfiltered, not understanding what we do or what challenges we have. But in that there is a personalized marketing message that really would solve for a challenge we have, you know, in my case, I forward that, right? I'm a great forwarder, right? I won't read it, but I'm going to send it to someone. Hey, this looks interesting. And sometimes my team says, Tom, that's an automated marketing message. And I said, well, why does that matter? Like, does it really matter? It's relevant to something we're talking about. It could solve for a challenge. I don't care if it's a bot, but it's relevant to me and I kick it on. But some people on my team, they're so sophisticated. They're all expert marketers and they don't like to be caught by an automated marketing message. Me, I'm indifferent. I'm not reading it anyway. I'm just passing it on. But long story short, I respond to effective marketing. I love effective personalized marketing and it just works.
So Tom, where do you see the future of account-based marketing going? Like, you know, put on your light bulb cap. Where do you see ABM going in the future?
Well, we talked about levels, right? We talked about three levels. So the first level, level one, is doing and executing an account-based strategy through an individual channel, right? Targeting personas at a group of accounts that you think are going to buy your product and emailing them assets and having them register and download and generating leads. That's level one. Level two is, wow, we can reach more people on the buying committee if we programmatically target display advertising to those accounts while we generate demand and generate leads, right? That's level two. Level three is, you know what? We can reach more people, influence more of the buyers across social, integrating with LinkedIn, connecting our demand gen and promote programmatic display, and tie in our sales force and marketing automation and track engagement as it relates to pipeline and accelerate the journey by personalizing messages. That's the future of ABM. So, you know, our platform is built for sophisticated account-based marketers that understand metrics of success for investing real digital dollars in achieving pipeline. So we don't work with everybody. They're totally vetted. So we are on this continuum for organizations that work with us, and we are working with them as they get more advanced in their strategy, whether that's multi-channel or integrated to personalize the message. But the future's here for those marketers that are ready to execute and activate an always-on and account-based digital strategy to accelerate the journey and convert their account. So it's there, but it's up to the organization, their team, and their confidence in just getting going.
So outside ABM, what are you most excited about in marketing?
That's a great question. I focus so much of my time on account-based marketing, but you know, I've been doing digital marketing since 1999. And when I sold digital advertising at a company called TheStreet.com, my first role, I was giving reports that talked about clicks, right? Here's how many people clicked on your ad and then no knowledge of like purchase, you know, those are gone, right? So no one's sharing with CEOs the click-through rate, right? That is just a meaningless metric. The metrics that I look at, that leaders look at, are return on investment. So just take me through the metrics of success for how we spent money so that I know we can continue it, spend more based upon the pipeline and revenue. So I love the fact that there's growth marketers and revenue marketers geared towards generating business outcomes. And that's what I'm excited about. And that's what every leader of every organization should be excited about, not their allocation to a channel, but the effectiveness of reaching the right customers and seeing business impact. So that's what excites me. It does morph into account-based, but it's just revenue marketing and growth marketing and verified, validated ROI-centric approaches and strategies that yield business value.
Well, that's great. It's music to our ears, obviously. And in our business here at Planet, that's what we do. So we're excited about that. The couple other things. One question I had for you was about the companies that are doing the best job today at ABM. Do you have an example of someone who's just really killing it with ABM today?
I won't say any one client because I wouldn't want to call out an individual.
Your favorite
client.
Child? You can anonymize them. We'll use the voice changer.
Well, I'll go to the level three analogy. Yeah. Right, we went through the three levels. So there's a group of marketers. And I said it was about a quarter of our clients at Madison Logic. We've got hundreds of clients, but that 25%, right? That top 25%, those marketers are ones that are executing their strategy, knowing more about the accounts they're selling to than the other 75%. So knowing the most about the accounts you're selling to, right? Personalizing messages, understanding the effect and impact of reaching more people at the buying committee across multiple channels, and doing the work to plug in the systems they use to communicate between marketing and sales so that they're tracking pipeline and personalizing messages. That is the most effective way to generate revenue, whether you're upselling, cross-selling, or focused on new accounts. But having the metrics of success that we can see as a business at Madison Logic and they can see, and setting that always on strategy, that is the most successful approach of account-based marketing where the market's headed. And these are organizations we've been working with for literally a decade to get there. So that's the group that gets it.
Makes a lot of sense. And by the way, it was great to go down memory lane there, talking about the street. I remember that. I was in the digital advertising world in the late 90s, working for a CMGI company called Engage.
Sure.
I don't know if you remember Engage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Back in the day, yeah, it's amazing what we were trying to do back then. And, you know, you and I were in these pioneering kind of companies, and we were dealing with sort of sticks and rocks for tools to try to make this stuff happen. But it's been incredible to see over the last couple of decades, the evolution. And a lot of it is really the connectedness, the cloud computing platforms, the kind of technology that enables these ideas that really existed in some form even more than 20 years ago. So it's exciting to see the evolution over time.
I totally agree. It's digital transformation. It's the advancement in CRM, marketing automation. You know, that's fueling the whole growth of B2B marketing, the evolution of ABM, and it is exciting to see.
Great. Well, I think we're about to get to our last question here. Time flies when you're having fun here. And I wanted to, one, thank you, Tom, for being on the podcast. Really great discussion. It's great to have someone who is so deep in this domain, because it is such an important topic for many of our listeners. So I really do appreciate it. Just before Kelsey goes into her last question, how do people learn more about Madison Logic?
Oh, go to our website, madisonlogic.com. You can go to, you know, LinkedIn, also one of our partners, but it's been great. Thanks a lot, Kelsey and Peter.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'll put a link in the show notes there for you to find out more information about Madison Logic. And definitely if you are a B2B marketer, you should check it out. And with that, I think, Kelsey, we have your last question.
Favorite question. What advice would you give to those that are CMOs or aspiring to be one someday?
Focus on the metrics that matter, right? The metrics you can take to a CEO, those are the metrics that matter. Everything else are just vanity metrics. If you focus on that, you'll win.
Music to our ears. Well, thank
awesome.
You so much for your time today, Tom. It was great to have you on the show. Make sure to follow The Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can email us at thenextcmo@plana.com. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks very much.